been away for quite a long time. And we would like to congratulate those that did extremely well in the elections. We congratulate you.
Thank you.
But now we're back to business. And our business is tourism. So we're going to start on the business of tourism. And thank you very much for all of you for being able to come to a committee meeting, on our first committee meeting. Our duty today is to adopt the minutes, two outstanding minutes that we did not adopt. We got the interval report some time back. I'm sure we all have read it, and we've got to adopt it. We got the oversight visit, for which we really had to struggle to have it, and also to put somebody to put it into the ACC. We received it before we went on recess, or not recess, on a long working break, because it was not a holiday, it was not a recess, it was work. We got it at the time, so at our spare moments we were all able, I assume, to read it. And then there is a memorandum from the department, between the department and India, and then any other announcement. So we're just here to make adoptions and to give you information on what is there. I hope we finish before 11, if it was enough. If it was not enough, we'll finish at 11 or just after 11. But I'm sure everybody would like us to be out of here really at the latest by 11.
Thank you, Chair. May I just inform the committee, we had a member, Andrew Whitfield, who was a member of our committee for this term. The members may not be aware that he will become the major member for Economic Affairs, Tourism and Agriculture in Nelson Mandela Bay. And he did see me last night, and he said he is very excited about the prospect of doing that. But more importantly for us, Chair, that he's very keen to continue the good relationship that we have on this committee. He remarked that it's one of the few parliamentary committees where we put our party differences aside and work to the benefit of the country. And he'd like to do that for the benefit of the city that he's now working in. And he looks forward to maintaining the good relationships he's had with the members on this committee. And in time to come, as the new era unfolds, he'd like to see a good working relationship with the committee as a whole, to the mutual benefit of the country and not one for the base. So I thought I would pass on the sentiments which he gave to me last night, because he has been a member of our committee, and it's a good that someone is now leaving our committee to go into a different sphere of government, still wants to maintain those links. And I think we can work together, because we all know him, and it's for the good of everybody. So I wanted to pass that on. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Kruger, for giving us the information. Actually, Honourable Ford has already told us that he is a counselor in the metro, but you've given us even the beef of the whole thing. It's quite exciting that a member lives here, but has got keen interest on the work and functioning of the committee. That is, we are indeed honored, and we'll keep him posted through you or through his email, if and when we get it, so that he's well informed about the progress.
Thank you so much.
Actually, I was talking to Honourable Ford, it's just outside this meeting, that in the upcoming year, among our oversight visits, we would like to visit Western Cape, so that we see what gems are in Western Cape, not in town, but outside Cape, the metro, to see the Western Cape. So he is just looking at areas we should be going into. We've been to KZN. We are going to Northwest. We're going to Mpumalanga, and then I think next year maybe our first point of call will be Western Cape, Free State, because we've been performing Free State all the way, and we're also quite happy that our committee has produced two councillors. Honourable Mashoba Makobeni from EFF is also a councillor. In Honourable Sophie's place, and yes, it's good committee, they were then.
Were any police the best?
They were then. And also, the accolades that you are getting from the councillors that are out of this committee are good for the committee. I think we keep the spirit and work as a committee of parliament and work as people who are here to promote tourism and also to lobby for better tourism. Thank you very much. So we are now going to go to the minutes of... And apologies before we go on to the personal.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got three apologies that we have received. One is from Honourable Mapumelelo Mashele. She will not be able to attend the committee meeting today. Then the other one is from Honourable Adams. And also, she will not be able to attend the committee meeting today. And then the third one is from the Deputy Minister. Also, as well, she will not be able to be with the committee today. Those are the only apologies that were presented here, including the two that were presented on this day, Mr. Kumbok and also Honourable Machobe. Those both are all. Thanks, Chair.
But I'm here. I didn't apologize.
I'm sorry.
I thought you said I was apologizing. I'm here.
No, I'm saying the other one that was received. In other words, on behalf of Mr. Wickfield.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, the other document that we'll have to look into is the progress of the committee. Thank you very much. Which honorable members do I have? So in our adoption, I think we'll also adopt the program. Thanks a lot. And then let us talk or look into the committee of the 13th of May, when we're having briefing from the National Department of Tourism on draft regulations on tourism guiding. As well as the annual performance plan for 2016-17 financial year. Let us look into those minutes. If members have read them, and they have got... I'm sorry, we need to introduce anyone amongst ourselves. Is there anyone we don't know in the committee? We are such a committee. So are we leaving anybody out at this meeting? Who should be introduced alone? Or is here for the first time? Thank you very much. Then the minutes, honourable members.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, as you have already indicated, that meeting was on the 13th of May. Which was meant for the committee to be briefed by the Department on draft regulations for tourism guiding. And if we can go to page one, I'm sure members will say the attendance is in order, the way it is reflected in those minutes, and attendance by the department. On page two, Chair, that is a brief overview of what was presented by the department to the committee, where they talk about the legislation pertaining to tourist guiding. They spoke about the significance of the review of tourism legislation. They also talk about the Tourism Act, the act that we have passed as Parliament, and they also talked about the chapter 6, which is dedicated to guiding function, and also the key changes that are contained in those and also the enabling provisions. They also indicated to us the provisions of the section 49 and the provisions of the section 50 And on page 4 also, they also indicated on the section 52, which talks about the conduct of, the code of conduct of, and ethics, and also section 55, which relates to disciplinary measures, and, section 55, which are related to disciplinary measures, and section 56 that deals with appeals and procedure to register tourist guides. What we have from 1994 up to 2001. Then with regard to the way forward, it's 2.13. That is the plan that the department indicated to the committee that what was going to happen after that meeting going forward up to August. Where they also indicated that these regulations were published on the 15th of April, and then the consultation with stakeholders started in May and was anticipated to also end in June in all provinces. And also they will also be briefing the cabinet structures in May to July, and also finalize the draft regulation by July. They also indicated that it was anticipated that the tourist guiding will be effective in August 2016. Now, from all what they have presented to the committee service in a nutshell, the committee raised to them a couple of things. One of those things was the issue of socioeconomic impact assessment. The committee raised that issue with the department. The committee also spoke about the current narrative by tourist guides. Also, the committee was also spoke as well on the issue of the concurrent function. Also, the issue of the central portal for tourist guides, the registration certificates, vis-a-vis the identification document, the card, the issue of capacity building, the fines that are now going to be imposed, and also we raised with them the issue of complaints that have been received to date. The issue of vehicle carrying capacity and the benefits of being a registered tour guide. So those are some of the issues that the committee raised with them, and their responses to those issues are all indicated in a nutshell. But in terms of the decision chair, the department indicated that they will give the feedback to the committee on the outcomes of the impact assessment of the regulation. And then also they will also as well engage the Department of Higher Education to cooperate on developing a credible curriculum and training of tourist guides. And then on page 6, that was only the consideration of the previous minutes of the 8th of April, minutes of the 14th of April, and the minutes of the 21 April. Those sets of minutes were all adopted by the committee. And then also the chair raised the issue of the draft joint oversight visit report of the committees that went to KZN. After that we made some training, and then we also sent the report to all the committee members. And then the meeting ended at 10:30. Then in a nutshell, Jefferson, that's what we are reflecting at this minute is what transpired in that committee meeting on the 10th.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Honourable members, comments, corrections?
And whatever. Thank you. Up to you. If these minutes are reflecting what you spoke about, I know May is way back, but at the back of our minds, I'm sure we do remember what we discussed. Thanks. Up to the members, Honourable Mabel.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members. I thought maybe you'll do it page by page so that it does not jam up.
Page one. If everybody reflected as having been present at that committee on that day, is there anyone who is not reflected here that was there? It's number one, page number two, on the introduction and right to the end of the page. Were there any corrections that were made? Can I move to page three? With your permission? Page three? Can I move to page four with your permission? And page four, is there any comment on the way forward from honorable members? As well as on the committee deliberation. Can we move on? Page 5. Those are still deliberations. The decisions, we may also follow them when we're getting the report. If they have not been taken, have been granted to actually do whatever they have to do. Honourable members, I table this for adoption. Is there any member who proposes for adoption? Honourable members? Honourable Mathele.
General Chair, I propose for the adoption of the minutes of the 13th May 2016 as what was discussed in the committee. Thank you.
Proposal for adoption by Honourable Mathele. Is there any member who seconds the proposal for adoption? Honourable Ford, thank you very much. Proposal for adoption. I mean second the proposal for adoption for the minutes. Jerry, the minutes of the 20th of May.
Okay. Thank you, Jefferson. Chair, this one was the minutes of the 20th of May. Unfortunately, that meeting, you apologized, Chair, and so what we had to start by appointing an acting chair for that age. I'm sure members are happy with page one in terms of the attendance, who was present, who apologized. I'm sure members have no issue with that. And then delegation of the department is also reflected there. And then on page three, some of the guests who were in the committee meeting on that day. And then Honorable Kago was nominated and seconded by the committee to chair the proceedings of the day on that day. In essence, the committee invited Department of Tourism to come and press the committee on the amended tourism broad-based economic empowerment in BEE sector policy. If we look at page 3, that's an overview of what the department presented to this committee. They reflected on 4.1 on the objectives of the amended tourism sector goals. They also reflected on the scope of the application of the code. They also talk about on 4.2 on the applicable thresholds. Also 4.3, the elements of the amended tourism sector codes. They also spoke about the priority elements and discounting principles. They also talk about the compliance parameters, which is 4.4, and 4.5, the empowering of suppliers. They also talk about the BEE verification. And then on 4.5, share that's the way forward on what they said is going to happen after they have briefed the committee. Now, after they've made their presentation, the committee engaged them, and some of the issues that were raised were related to the involvement of the Department of Trade and Industry, in other words, the DTI, in the whole sector issue. And also the committee was more concerned also about the cost of compliance. Also, the committee raised the issue of verification process. The skills development issue was also raised again with them. The action plan to sensitize the stakeholders and the public on this code. The issue of popularization of the BEE sector codes, transformation, and the supplier development. The department responded in those issues that were raised by the committee to them. Members can see how they have responded on those issues. Then after that, in terms of the decision, it was agreed that the committee should consider holding public hearings in relation to the amended BEE code. The DA also was one of the views that the code was too stringent for industry to create jobs, and therefore the issue of public hearings was proposed. The entity was inviting people to enter into the industry through the amended code. The committee cautioned to them that we should also take into account so that some of the mistakes that we did in 2010, the FIFA Soccer World Cup, are not repeated. And it was also indicated as well, sir, that the committee will invite the tourism BEE Charter Council to discuss their program of action in implementing the amended sector codes immediately after the implementation program has been finalized. Then with regard to the minutes, then the minutes of that presentation, they were tabled but were deferred. And then the draft report as well, they were also deferred. The joint oversight report to KwaZulu Natal and Indaba 2016 draft report, they were as well deferred to August. But at that time, we were not sure exactly what date are we going to meet in August, whether it was going to be the 19th or then we said August 2016 after members have come back from the constituency where Jefferson. So in a nutshell, Jefferson, that's how we recorded the proceedings of that meeting, under Honorable Kreko, who was chairing on that day. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Jerry. In fact, I would like to thank the members that were able to be at the committee meeting. day, on the day I was sick like a little bit late. Page one does it reflect the attendance of the members of the committee. On page two, page two is very straightforward, election of chapter two. Page three, the overview. Page four, page five, page six, page number seven. Are there any comments around all those pages, Honorable Boss?
Both of them, the fact that the minutes indeed reflect the deliberations of the committee at the time. I just would like to point out with regards to page 7, bullet number 1, where we did in fact ask that the department, together with the committee, make provision for public hearings. That in fact did not happen because soon after the presentation to the committee, the minister and the department announced the new tourism codes together with the charter and council. So that for me is a concern because the committee at the time did express a view that we should conduct hearings to find out exactly from the different industry role players what their views are in terms of these codes, because we know that these codes are very important for the industry and is ultimately key as part of transformation within the industry. So we just wanted to point out that those hearings did not take place as requested, and then soon after the Minister and the NDT made the codes public together with the Council. But not reflecting on the correctness of the minutes, I'm just pointing out our view that those hearings did not take place.
Thank you, Honourable Force. Probably there was some pressure for us at that point in time, because it was in May, and we were leaving these numbers even before the end of May. So I think the next point of departure will be maybe to invite the Charter Council, and then we might be able to move on. I think in the forthcoming year, because our program for 2016-17 is almost full. But we'll see on the third term if there is room, because third term will be occupied by reports, your report, B-R, the MTPPS, and the air comes to the end. So our program is sort of full until the end of the year. Maybe at the beginning of the year, when we are more fresh, and everybody is more fresh, these are the things, Jerry, who can you know them, so that when the year begins, we look into this and maybe invite the Charter Council first, so that you see what kind of monsters are there, and what is it that they've set for themselves to push the PEE code forward. And then, once we've got what they have, then we would look into the issue of public hearings. And also, honourable members, we had wished to have had a summit in August, but we couldn't because there was a lot of juggling around of the parliamentary program. We would like to have a tourism summit that is getting information from all the tourism stakeholders, departments, private sector, academics. I think Tourism Committee has done this throughout the various terms of government. But we hope this will be possible next year. I'm sure those that were there, like Honorable Krumbog, Honorable secretary of the committee, Jerry, contact advisor, are aware of those summits before. So on that, those meetings that have been on your after a moment, can we have proposal for adoption from the people that were there? And also grateful that there were people that were there. Can we have proposal for the adoption and for the secondment of the adoption? Honorable Kudus?
Thank you, Chair. My answer was that the Honorable Forsen that we are certainly need provide that document that you made. So mine was just to say I support the proposal.
Thank you. So the Honorable Forsen proposed for adoption. Honorable Kudus proposed for seconding the proposal of adoption. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Then we move to the next item. We've got a program. We all have seen the program. Whatever, if there's anything that you don't agree with, we are pressed by time. But having looked at the program, the program progress today, we're looking at adoption of a internal community business. And we're looking forward at the people that will be briefing us for this end. I'm sure the honorable members have seen this program. And can I propose for the adoption of the program of the community?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Chair, we've received the draft program. I stand here to propose adoption of the program, adopting it as a living document that we can sort of do whatever when there are disasters or extreme change that we're supposed to. Otherwise, Chair, I'm proposing adoption of the draft program. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Taiko. Can there be some honorable convocation? Thank you very much.
Chair, I'm happy with the program. I'd just like to repeat the request I made last year that we're very well briefed by departments that come and testify at this committee and deliver reports, as well as SAT, etc., etc. What I don't think we always do sufficiently enough of is to go out there in the field and look at best case studies, as well as ones that maybe aren't quite as successful. So what we tend to get in this committee is an honorable commissioner in Parliament somewhat removed from where the rubber hits the road, if I can use that metaphor. We tend to get a kind of overview and a once-removed exposition by the presenters in every case. And we see it on the screens, in glossy photographs, overhead reports and figures and financial terms. And I think some of the best work we've done in this committee is when we actually went out to see these places. So I would very much like if we could have perhaps an multi-party committee working with the content advisor, whoever, herself, that we go and see maybe two or three really successful tourism projects at different levels, one maybe initiated by government, one maybe initiated by the private sector, and perhaps taking into account the different spheres of government, and then maybe look at three that aren't so good. So that as a committee we can get an idea of what are the drivers of success that actually do start building the economy in local places, that actually do create jobs, which is what we all want, and why do other ones not work out? Because I just feel that we need to actually see it as it happens on the ground, rather than getting a very, very generalized and aggregated report from the various entities that do come and testify to us. So if we could somehow build that in at some stage, we don't necessarily have to spend a lot of money. We could do some of it here. We could maybe do some in a nice hub elsewhere in the country and take a couple of those. But I really think that's missing from our kind of understanding of what's going on. And I think all of us would benefit from been able to elicit personal experiences where we could see why things work out, also why things don't work out. So I think it's a field that could be looked into, and we can incorporate it sometime in the next maybe 6 months, just round out the general understanding we have of our portfolio.
Thank you very much. I think you're also seconding the proposal.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. On that note, Honorable Kumok, in our next oversight visit to Northwest, that's exactly what you're going to do, to look at the projects, whether they're good or bad, but we're going to look at best practices, and we look at where there's been failure. And our best can say that be corrected. We start doing it when we go to Northwest. And fortunately, we have a back-to-back oversight. The next one will be Mpumalanga. We'll be doing exactly that, so that we are open with what is going on the ground. And also, we are able to believe that the department is actually telling us what is on the ground. Thank you very much.
Let's just look
at things for looting, so that we go into the Indaba report for adoption and also the visit to KwaZulu-Natal. It seems that are there for us to load until the department comes to give us information on them, either bilateral agreement in Parliament, in terms of Chapter 14, Section 231(3) of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996, as amended. I just browsed through this, but told myself, we need more information. We just need clarity and information. Just not this one only. I think the department is obliged to tell us about all the other tort agreements for this department that have been made, because some have been made, but we're not sure whether anything has ever happened after the agreement has taken place. This is just for noting, because it was given to us just to note. So that one, I propose that we just note it, because there is much we can do. It's there, it's for us to see that it is there, and we note it. Can I pass that on?
No.
Thank you.
The next one is the visit to KZN.
The visit to KZN by the Department of Environmental Affairs, Agriculture and Tourism.
Mm-hmm.
That week overnight, which exhausted all our debt, and we couldn't fight after that. But we've read it. Now is for us to agree, disagree, correct, amend whatever has been done here by the various secretaries from the three committees on page 2.
Madam Chair, given the extent and much detail to this report, I think it's going to be time-consuming going through it page by page. If I just draw your attention then, with your permission, to the paragraph relating to tourism, which is on page 30, 9.3, the recommendations that are put before the Minister of Tourism. Is it possible to, in a method to complete this report, to get the Ministry of Tourism to respond to these recommendations? Because these are very good recommendations. These recommendations clearly speak to the urgency to ensure that cultural and heritage tourism, specifically in this province, reaches its full potential. So I'm very keen to hear what the Ministry of Tourism has to say on some of these recommendations. And in the past, we have received a column or a spreadsheet outlining the recommendations and then the Ministry's response. I think that would be very useful. But apart from that, I would, to save time, I would like to propose that we adopt the report, and on the provision then that this report is sent to the ministers responsible for arts and culture, tourism, etc., and that the report specifically relating to tourism or the recommendations under paragraph 9.3 be sent to the Minister of Tourism for response, and that that report then be sent back to the committee. If that's in order with Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Force. I think that is going to be done, because it has to be done. When Parliament decides to put it in the ATC, they put it, they will talk about it. If you hear people talking about it, if at all it does get to the ATC, if it does not get to the ATC, but we were actually, I was going to propose that the Ministry must get the recommendation, because the recommendations, I think, are all very important. And primarily, these departments are so interrelated that tourism sort of is roller skating around these departments. And at the end of it all, if we're to debate it, for Parliament to look into having this integrated oversight of sister departments or sister committees, sister departments, so that we just see how to move, how best can we move the various aspects forward and see what actually is happening in the country. But for tourism, agriculture, it is very important, particularly because it came out, I mean tourism came out of it. Thank you very much, Honourable Force. Honourable Force proposed addition. This is one of the big oversight visits that we took to a province. Honourable Mutena.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I'm not going to speak one because I was not part of the oversight, but I wanted to talk on page number 2 because I sent an apology as I was attending lesson. I could not attend the oversight, and that includes that I said.
Thank you very much. I think it will be reflected, Jerry. Send an apology. Honourable Chair.
Sure, President. In seconding the proposal by Honourable Force, how I wish I can also add something that I appreciate the approach to the oversight, of the oversight to the province of KwaZulu-Natal. How I wish then that we could, during these oversights, also build relations and links to the management or stakeholders of those various sites that we visit, so that whenever we observe as a challenge during the oversight, we are able to get feedback. If we observe something that has happened, even if it affects people, if it affects people negatively, when that thing is corrected, we are able to get feedback. If we observe that the Nome Museum or the Reconciliation Bridge has been closed, if it's open, we are able to get the feedback that has been corrected. I'm just making an example, Chair. I wish the oversight is not just a once-off thing. There's constant communication with those projects to improve our oversight on the work of the department and whatever. Thank you, Chair.
The proposal, Honourable Members, proposal seconded. We will follow up on it. Thank you very much. No, Sir Jerry. Thank you very much. Can I ask Honourable Kuti to hand up?
I wanted to raise a few things on the report. But taking what my colleagues have just said, there are things on the report that I want I wonder if it has been a sort of an incident. The issue of the drought here is fine. Whatever I see is not the incident, although I was not part of the observation. Actually, in another committee, which I was not. Yes. The issue of pollution in the problem. The what do you call it, the discoveries that are all over the streets. So contaminating our waters. The issue of invasive plants that mentioned the smart soil about. The view which is in the I wonder if the issue be raised with the part of agriculture or as well as water or environmental with regards to deliveries invasive plants outside the parks, because fighting these plants inside the park is of no good use when the adjacent communal land is infected with this, because the seeds flow into the park.
Thank you very much. We're noting that. Maybe you just have to make a note to this department. After the issue of pollution was highly, highly, highly debated at Mtubatuba Municipality. It was high up on the agenda. And it's quite an issue. What affairs? What affairs in Sunday night? Thank you very much. Note? First, the story in Dava.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, the proposal that we adopt the report on with the proviso that the Ministry of Tourism provides detailed responses to the committee recommendations as outlined on page 14 and 15, paragraph 11, specifically 11.6, because these minutes or report, this report has been prepared obviously before the appointment of a service provider, which never took place, because the service provider was never appointed. So Indaba is now once again a project of SAT. So I think for the purposes of completeness, the Minister definitely needs to respond to paragraphs 11.1 up to 11.8 so that we have full understanding of the future of Indaba, what it means for the department and specifically for the tourism industry as a whole, because this is one of our iconic events that brings people together in the industry. So we as the committee need to really strengthen our oversight in this regard, because this is one of the events hosted by the department, by SAT. So I really believe that we should get a full response on this so that we can deliberate on the future. But for the business of completeness, I think therefore the report could be adopted that we receive feedback from the Ministry on those points as raised under paragraph 11.
Thank you very much, Honourable Force 1, for your comment. 2, for adopting the report. I'm coming to you, Honourable Kolok. And the issue you're talking on, you are just on the pulse, because when I had a meeting with the Secretariat on Tuesday, that's the first thing we pointed out, that on recommendations, we need a full response, and in particular, around the issue of the service provider. But on the recommendation, we need a response, and a good response, so that we are clear of what is going on around Indaba. Thank you very much. So Honourable Force has proposed for the adoption of the report and the comments thereof, which we actually do recognize. Honourable Kovac.
Thanks, Chair. I spent quite a bit of time at the Indaba talking to the local government executives, mainly from my province, KwaZulu-Natal. It was quite remarkable to see the different effort that the different municipalities put in. So, you know, in some cases you had fairly big exhibits from quite small municipalities who tried very hard and had a number of people there to service the public and try to sell their products within their own municipalities. In other cases you had rather insignificant and not very impressive displays by service providers in municipal service providers, by actual municipalities. They were quite big. It didn't really seem to, in any coherent way, be aligned to each municipality's possibilities and budget. It tended to be whoever tried had a big stand and put a lot of effort, and those that didn't try didn't. So there was something wrong about that. But it led me to believe that I'm not sure if we've ever seen any detailed cost-benefit analysis of Indaba, both from the point of view of SAP, as my colleague said, we had to observe this time, or from the individual exhibitors. And I think it would be a good idea, if it's still possible, even if it's not incorporated in this report, that we could request that there is an assessment made by a competent structure to say, well, what do we spend? And to what extent that we can measure did Indaba actually contribute to increased tourist flows, whether inbound, outside the country, or, you know, internal tourism through short lived. In other words, to what extent does it actually help? I mean, I think it does help. And I think it's a good and it's a worthwhile initiative. But as we all know, it has declined in the last few years. It's not quite the showpiece that it used to be. And from the same point of view, it would be good if we could get, particularly at municipal level, those people that did have a stand in the other hall outside where the private sector people were, and across the walkway, ask them, do you think it was worthwhile? Did it justify the expense that you guys as a municipality incurred in having a stand? To what extent do you feel you're able to attract people to your municipality because you were a Zimbabwe? And let's see. Because that kind of information, I don't think we've ever seen to that level. And it would be really useful for us to actually make an assessment. It may mean that we need to scale down, or it may mean we have to actually have it even bigger than it has been before. But we just don't know to what extent it is successful. So either by an incorporation of a final recommendation in this report, or by simply a decision taken by this committee, I think it would be good to find out those facts. How successful is it from the point of view of the country, which is more like an SAT analysis, and how successful is it from the point of view of private exhibitors, and then my own personal interest in this one, municipal exhibitors who had stands and took a lot of lucky photographs, and they're not cheap, and deploy staff there for a while. Let's get those numbers and let's see what impact Indaba is actually having on the ground. We are part of government, part of the National Assembly Cabinet, and these are our colleagues at the local government sphere, and I think we need to have that interaction.
Secondly, the adoption of the report.
It's a matter of the report.
Yeah, you also...
Yeah, I was suggesting that maybe we add it to the recommendation in the report so that we can have a section of following up with the ministry.
And the ministry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do second that proposal then, that be included, because some municipalities simply do not have the capacity to compete with some of the bigger municipalities, and it's precisely those municipalities that do have tourism potential, but they do not have the internal capacity to compete in terms of exhibiting their products. So I think clearly there is an opportunity now, as part of our role, to engage with the Department of Tourism to understand their thinking. Why did they not appoint an external service provider at the last minute? Because there was a lot of public hype about the imminent appointment of a service provider that will be able to assist all the different stakeholders, whether it's municipal or private, so that everybody would be able to compete and take part of the opportunity that Indaba holds. And I think really there's the product development, making sure it's market ready, and then the destination marketing. Those are the three things that I do see absent from Indaba. It's just simply people exhibiting, and some do have the ability to exhibit much better than others. We have to level the playing field, and I think that is a very good recommendation. See exactly what is the benefit, the cost benefit for us to do an Indaba versus that of an external service provider, and to see whether it is in fact financial viable for some of those municipalities to come and compete on the big scale. Because we have to assist those municipalities so that they can also leverage the tourism potential, and that will deal with the limited geographic spread that we're always talking about, so that we do get people showcasing those parts of the country that never get showcased. So I agree with that proposal, and I think therefore discussion with the Department of Tourism and SAT about the future of Indaba at this level becomes key because we certainly read about it in newspapers that the last minute appointment did not happen and that SAT will now again be responsible for hosting it now. So I think the committee surely needs to deliberate with NTT and SAT on the future of Ilava. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, and via the Convention Bureau. But also, I think that's a very good suggestion. I also think it is important for tourism, Department of Tourism, to work closely with COTA, because tourists come from the top there, but what they want to see is what is happening on the ground. So is there a possibility of National Department of Tourism and COTA working together in order to promote tourism? Tourism is okay, but tourism actually happens in the municipality, in the province. So how can the local government be beefed up or assisted or be capacitated to be able to promote tourism? So I think that needs to come in very clear. And maybe if time allows us during our fifth term period to also have a meeting with a COTA around tourism, because I think they also get money in their coffers through tourism, one way or other. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Thank you very much. I have had a discussion. This is for information, Honourable Member, but I hope we will be getting information soon. I've had a discussion and then I wrote to the Office of the Director General on the projects. There are so many projects in the country. Which projects are viable? Which projects are legacy projects? Because apparently most of the projects that are totally failed are legacy projects from DG. Why? Why do they fail? And which ones are viable? And also around the issue of prosecution, has it taken place because we took up the forensic audit? So I requested the Office of the Digit to give us information on that one. Might as well be asking about it in the annual report, but we want specific information from the area. Do they have an engineer? What's the role that has been played by Treasury to assist in this instance? Because if the budget was given out, then Treasury has got a very big role to play. I'm sure we're all aware there was an investment in the media. And I wanted the department to also comment on that one. So we are waiting for that. I had a short meeting with the DG on Tuesday, Wednesday, to please just brief us on that. I see that the minister has sent some recommendations to the speaker on the BRR. So we are waiting to get those from the office of the speaker, the BRR recommendations. Because we made a big noise that we made so many recommendations, but there's been no response on those recommendations. I think we are going to get them soon from the office of the speaker. Sherry, have I left anything?
You have covered everything, Chair. All I wanted just to check with members with regard to the oversight visit to Northwestern Mpumalanga. Can they get from the indication from members who will not be available, who will be available, so that we can take into consideration when COS is doing logistics in that area? Okay, thanks, Chair.
Are available or not available? And Honourable Professor, he is available, but he will have to leave early on the 15th or late on the 14th. And I think we must congratulate you, Honorable Force, that you soon be a father.
Nice.
A father or a daughter. Let's congratulate you on that. And thank the Almighty God for having given you that opportunity at the last. There are invitations from the Office of the Minister on the Tourism Month, which is next month. The first invitation is to Robben Island on the 16th. I have on the site, because we're beginning our override on the 16th, requested Honorable Paul if he could just, for a short time, attend that particular invitation. And I left the department that Honorable Paul will come to that one. And then the big day is the honor of the month is celebrated in the Free Trade. And the big day will be on the 27th in Free Trade. On the 15th, it is the Robben Island. On the 25th of September, it will be a public lecture at the Central University of Bloemfontein, of Technology Bloemfontein. That is on the 26th of September. On the 26th of September, there will be a dinner at a 5 degrees Gold Estate in Paris. On the 27th, it's a World Tourism Day. It's also in Paris. But unfortunately, we got nobody from Free State. Otherwise, if we had a member from Free State, we would ask the member to participate, to be there. And then somebody can volunteer to be there, because also the constituency period, who can volunteer to be there, will be closer to Paris. And I think the place that will be closer to Paris might be Mpumalanga or KZN. But I'll check on how far is Paris from KZN, because I will try to be there on constituency period, that is on the 27th. Or maybe Honorable Tobehulu can also try to be there on the 27th. And we'll just ask for, yeah, Honorable Tobehulu.
Thank you, Chair. I was just saying, you are very on the ground, Chair, so it's not easy for me to present my opportunity. In other words, I'm just apologizing in case the Chair doesn't have my name or my number on the mind to be passed on.
No, I was just throwing it. Honorable Kronborg, from Peter Middlesbrook, I'll find you from Paris. If you do have the time. Because
yeah,
it's constituency period,
it's
not
so
easy.
Yeah, I'm going to check my diary here. Maritzburg is not too far away. You basically got to go north and then, you know, through the Free State until you hit Battle Place. It's not far from the Gauteng borders, you know. So I don't know, maybe 5 hours or so drive. I'm not sure. But let me check my diary first.
Yeah, let's check from the diaries. Especially because municipalities, we've got new municipalities and we've got quite a lot of work on the ground as well.
Mm-hmm. Honourable Foss? Madam Chair, could be circulated to us by...
They are going to be circulated by Jerry.
We can indicate yes or no, depending on our diaries and
other... Yeah. Jerry is going to distribute them next week.
Okay.
Thank you. You are going to distribute them next week. Or when you get to the office, you've got them. Electronically. Hey Jerry, I am requesting if you can circulate Honorable Whitfield, because to his worship, Yeah, yeah. So, Honorable Trumbull, I'm sorry. We still this information for his knowledge. And also, I think he was at the Indaba. Was he at the Osaic visit? But we can also just keep it, you know, share all the information with him. And Honorable Kronborg, if you can also request him, if he can comment on whatever he wants to comment, it will help us as a committee to grow and also to expand our wings and knowledge. And we hope he'll be inviting us to his municipality at a certain point in time for whatever. Thanks. Honourable members, department head, you got anything to say to us before we go? I'm looking at you. Yes, department. Is there anything to say to us before we go? Next week we're having SAT, I think.
Yes, sure.
How soon? Thank you very much. I hope they followed the budget cycle, not the thing of January to June, June to December. We'll await that information. And we'll await whatever from you, Melanie. Honorable members, thank you very much for your cooperation. This committee meeting is adjourned. Thank you very, very much for coming out.